how to gather in thy presence tonight in prayer, individually and as a company of thy redeemed people. Very thankful from the depths of our hearts for what light thou hast been pleased to impart to us. Very conscious in our own souls that we were altogether dark, and we were entirely in the dark until the Lord was pleased to shed light abroad in our lives and in our hearts. We thank Thee for opening up these closed, shut hearts of ours to the gospel. And we thank Thee for making us willing in the day of Thy power. And Father, we thank Thee that when all this was wrought upon us and the soul was ready to receive and trust the Savior, that then that great and mighty work of regeneration took place. And we thank Thee we were born the second time. We were born again of the Spirit of the living God. And Father, we thank Thee for that lovely verse that has cast much light upon many things for us through life, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And we praise Thee for the evidence of the new life and the new creature. We praise Thee that the old life passed away and everything became new. And we worship Thee in Thy sacred presence, that to serve the Lord now is the joy and delight of our willing hearts. And our Father, as we bow in Thy presence, we have many things to thank Thee for tonight. We thank Thee for the souls that sought and found the Savior right over the whole of the weekend and right on up to the Tuesday night. And we thank Thee, Father, for the presence of those who have been saved in recent months. And we thank Thee, Lord, that the desire of our hearts tonight is that they themselves who are young in the faith, and those of us who are longer in the faith, that we may be all together deeply taught of the Spirit of God in the things of God. Themselves who are young in the faith, and those of us who are longer in the faith, that we may be all together deeply taught of the Spirit of God in the things of God. And so to that end, we surrender this meeting and pray that the Spirit of the Lord will breathe through everything the breath of life and make it living and powerful and effective. We commit ourselves to Thee now and return thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, a short reading of Scripture, please, and we're in 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. First Kings chapter 6. And we read here verse 4. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights, and against the wall of the house he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle, and he made chambers round about. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without, in the wall of the house, he made narrow rests round about, that the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. And then, verse 8, the door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber, and out of the middle into the third. And then down to verse 20 for the final reading. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar, which was of cedar. Amen. Amen. The Lord will bless the short reading of Scripture. Now, tonight we are coming to the chambers mentioned in verse 5 and 6. And we are coming to the stairs mentioned in verse 8. And we are coming to the windows mentioned in verse 4. And I think we might take a few moments also tonight for the article of the most holy place as we find it in verse 20. And so we are fairly well on with our study in the temple, and perhaps in the will of the Lord another couple of nights will complete us. But if we were taking more time on the temple, and it is exhausting us and our time, and we certainly will not exhaust it, if we were taking more time to delay with the temple, we could have spent some time in the outer places before entering into the holy place in the most holy. For example, if you come over here and follow me with the pointer, I'll point out one or two things here about the outside part of the temple. Right over here, you have the fuel chamber, and that was on the northeast part of the temple, that part of the temple that I'm pointing to. And then right at the back here, at the northwest, you have the chamber for the washing of the leper. And then right over at the far side, the southeast part of the temple, you have the chamber where the Nazarite went to take his vow. And then right at the back here, the southwest, you have the chamber for the oil and the wine for the priests. Now, those four chambers, the fuel chamber, the washing chamber, the chamber for the vows of the Nazarite, and the chamber for the oil and the wine, were all very important in the life of the temple, and I would say are quite full of spiritual teaching. For example, tonight, if I was delaying on the fuel chamber in the northeast, I would be dealing tonight with the fires and the need to provide for the fires to keep the fire burning on the altar of your heart and your life. Because that's what the chamber was for. It was to provide fuel for the fire. And if we are to keep the fire burning on the altar of these hearts and lives of ours for the Savior, then we must provide fuel for the fire. And then we could go on, for example, to the Nazarite, and we could delay on that chamber. And the Nazarite, the chamber was where he went to take his vows, and where he was
presenting and yielding his life to God. And I would say that in the temple, which is now the church, we're thinking about the church, there should be provision for fuel for the fire, to keep the fires burning in all our hearts and lives. And there should be provision where the soul, like the Nazarite, can yield and separate and surrender itself to Jesus Christ. And so all those chambers have their own significance and suggestion. And so if we were delaying on that, we could find quite a little bit of teaching. But we're not doing that tonight. We're coming to the three or four things that I have mentioned in the chapter. And if you open your Bible now, we'll get right into our study for tonight. Now, in verses 5-6, where we're starting off first tonight, we have the chambers. It says, and against the wall of the house he built chambers. And then verse 6 gives the detail about the chambers. Now, if you follow our line of study tonight, you'll find that there is one common thought to all the four things that we have before us. And that is the idea of progress and growth and development in the Christian life and in the Christian experience. Now, there are those tonight in our meeting who have been saved, some very recently, some not so long ago, and I feel that this word tonight is very simple, and it's very descriptive, and I feel it should be an excellent word for their hearts tonight, as I trust it will be for all of us. Now, we come, first of all, right away here to verses 5 and 6, and the first thing we're looking at now is the chambers in the temple. Now, if you watch carefully in verse 5 and 6 here, you have three tiers of chambers or rooms in the temple. You have the nethermost in verse 6. That's the lower one. And then you have the middle one. And then you have the third. You have 1, 2, and 3 in verse 6. You can see that for yourself. But now, the one thing I want you to notice about the temple is this. That the lower chamber, or the nethermost in verse 6, was 5 cubits. And the middle chamber was 6 cubits. And the third chamber was 7 cubits. Now, I'm not going into the detail just now. If you want to ask me later, feel free to do it. How they managed to get the chambers, the rooms, enlarging and increasing as they went up from 5, 6 to 7 cubits, the various sizes as they progress. But this I do want to say, that those chambers, there was an enlargement, there was a growth, and there was a development as you went on and as you went up in the temple. From 5 to 6 to 7 cubits. And the thought in the chambers here in verses 5 to 6 is the thought of enlargement and development and growth. You have 5 and 6 and 7 as you went up and up and up. Now, in taking that tonight and implying that, applying that spiritually to our hearts, I want to say, especially to those who are young in the faith, to those who have been recently converted, and those perhaps a little longer, that like the three stages in the temple chambers, the 5, the 6, and the 7, there should be the different stages of growth in your experience and your life as a believer. You shouldn't just be sitting at the one stage. You shouldn't, as it were, be in chamber number 1 all your days. You should be moving out and moving up and moving on. There should be the progress and the development, the 5 and the 6 and the 7. Now turn over for a moment into 1 John and see here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12-13, three similar stages. Only John is using different language this time. 1 John 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, do you see the three titles, well known to the older Christians, no doubt? You have children in verse 12, you have young men in verse 13, and you have fathers also in verse 13. Children, young men, and fathers. Now, that ought to describe the spiritual growth and experience of all the believers. We start off as little children. We're just born into God's family. Then we move on to the stage, the middle stage, where he speaks of as young men. And then we should move on from that to fathers. And we should become fathers in the faith and mothers in Israel. But do you remember how Paul said in one occasion, ye have not many fathers. And I would say, sad to say today, a great number of God's children are all down in chamber number 1. They're still children when there should be the growth and grace and progress as there was in the temple, the 3 chambers. Now just let me take a moment on that because it doesn't need a lot of dwelling on. But first of all, there was the lower chamber and that was 5 cubits. And I suppose the priests down in the lower chamber would say to themselves, now this place is narrow and it's limited and we're cramped and there's not the development here and that we would like. And I would say for myself, in the early stages of my life as a young Christian, I felt as one in the lower chambers of the temple, so to speak. I felt my experience narrow, limited, confined. And I longed for something further. And I longed for something deeper. And I longed for something greater. In other words, God was creating the desires in my heart to try to get me out of the lower chamber and to get me into the middle chamber. And so you have the first one, you have the lower, and that was narrow and confined. Then when I come to the middle chamber here in verse 5 here, verse 6, I find that it was 6 cubits and the top was 7 while the lower was 5. And I suppose in the middle chamber the priest would say, well now, we're not where we once were. We're not as narrow and as limited now as we used to be down below. But yet, there's a lot to go on to yet. There's something larger above us and beyond us. There's something greater. And I would say that that is a mark of progress in your life as a Christian. When you can look back humbly, altogether humbly, by the grace of God, and say, Lord, there's a lot for me to go on to yet. There's the 7 cubit chamber. But I thank you that I'm a wee bit further on than it was when it started. There has been growth a little, and there has been development somewhat. And then, of course, when we come to the top chamber, the upper one with the 7 cubits, there was the height of attainment. There was fullness and full development. And I believe tonight, as you watch your own experience as a Christian, you'll find yourself the five, the six, and the seven. The little children, the young men, and the fathers. And I would say to you tonight, there should be growth, and there should be development. And I would say, watch for the enlargement and the increase, because God wants you now to grow in grace, to move from the five into the six, and to move on from the six and aim for the sevens, and seek the height of spiritual attainment in your own growth in the things of God. Well, I trust that is clear. That's as clear as I can make it. The first thing, number one, the chambers. And they tell me about enlargement and growth and development, the stages on the head. Now let's come to the second thing on the temple here. And the second thing now we want to look at, not only the chambers in 5 and 6, but we're taking it in this order. The second thing, the stairs in the temple. Verse 8. And it says here in the middle part of the verse, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber, and then out of that, and up into the third chamber. Now, I don't think I should have any problems trying to portray before you what winding stairs are like. I remember the old labor exchange in Downpatrick, and years ago, I remember being in it. I wasn't on the bureau, but I remember being in it. And I remember there was these little iron spiral winding stairs right in the center. I suppose they were limited in space, and we'll bring that out in a moment. They were limited in space, and so they put in these spiral stairs up to the next room. Or perhaps if you've been in some of the big castles, you'll have gone up round the spiral stairs, the winding stairs, and you've climbed right to the top of the castle. Now, as I looked at those spiral stairs, I saw a great deal. I saw not only in the chambers, 1, 2, 3, the idea of growth and enlargement and development as you go on and on and on in the Christian growth and Christian experience. But in the stairs, I saw the way to enlargement and further growth and yet higher attainment in Christian experience. In other words, the stairs in the temple led the way to something higher, further, and greater. And those stairs portray to you and me as Christians the way from the limited stage to the greater stage and the yet further stage of enlargement. The stairs are telling me the way to the higher, greater, broader experience as a Christian. Let me try and bring it out for you. It's so simple when you see it. First of all, as I stood in my mind and imagination and fancied myself going up these winding stairs in the temple, the first thing that I thought was this very clearly, this matter of climbing, of attaining to the heights, of going from the lower to the middle and the higher, how was it done? It was just a step at a time. A step at a time. That's how they got there. Step at a time. Can you see the simplicity of it? The priests, as they were down in the lower chamber and perhaps wanted to go up into the second or the third, how did they get up into the larger and yet larger chamber above? They started out and they took one step, And like any man climbing stairs, they took another step and then took another step. And it was just a matter of a step at a time. And as they took a step at a time, the left, the lower, and they came to the higher, and they attained eventually to the height that was in the temple. Well, you say tonight, how can I, as a young man or a young woman not so long, say, I tonight would place myself down in the lower part of the temple yet. How can I attain to that higher and yet higher life still that there is for me in God? The very same way that the priests went from the lower to the higher in the temple. It's a matter of a step at a time. A step at a time. That's how you come into the higher, greater, and fuller life. Step at a time. You see, the Lord will show you one step, and then He'll show you another step, and you'll take that. And you'll go on with the Lord. The first step the Lord showed you perhaps was the step of decision and conversion when you became the Lord's. Then perhaps the next step He'll show you is the step in baptism, and then the step in being added to the local church, and then maybe other steps that will have to be taken. And it will be a step at a time. And He'll show you a step at a time. And that's how you'll climb from the lower to the higher. And those priests that went right to the heights in the temple, they got there by that same method and no other way. A step at a time. Oh, dear Christian, could I enforce that? Because sometimes the believer is wanting just to jump right into the top chamber right all at once. You never do it that way. You can't do it that way. It's a matter of a step at a time. That's how you do the climb. And then another thing I can see here about these stairs, which is very simple. These stairs being winding stairs, and I think this is important, being winding stairs, and you know what around winding stairs would be like? You certainly wouldn't see long stretches ahead at a time, like ordinary stairs. You perhaps would only see one step, maybe two or three, no more, and that's all you might see at a time, but you stepped out as it were in the face. And you kept moving a step at a time. And you know, that's the way the Lord shows to you the Christian life. As I look back now, I can see a multiplicity of steps that God enabled me to take. Yeah, perhaps you would only see one step, maybe two or three, no more. And that's all you might see at a time. But you stepped out as it were in the face. And you kept moving a step at a time. And you know, that's the way the Lord shows to you the Christian life. As I look back now, I can see a multiplicity of steps that God enabled me to take. But at the time, I maybe only saw one, or two, at the most three. And I was prepared to take it and follow on after the Lord. And that's how He'll do with you. He'll show you a step at a time. And maybe no more. But as you take the one step, you'll see another. And as you take another step, the other will follow. And on and on and on and on. And it's just a matter of a step at a time, as it appears, in taking it. And so you come from the lower to the middle and the heights. But mind you, it's a step at a time. That's the way. Now, could I say one more thing here, especially about the stairs, the winding stairs, and it's this. The winding stairs, why the winding stairs? Well, I might suggest, we're not two, but I might suggest this. They were limited in space in the temple, naturally so. And the idea in spiral staircases is to gain a maximum amount of height. within the smallest, shortest possible space. That's the principle behind a fire escape. A maximum amount of height gained in the smallest possible space. That's the principle. And I sat at that, and I've done this for some time, and I said, Lord, I would like that it was like just like that in my experience as a Christian. I want to gain the maximum amount of height in the things of God within the smallest possible space of time. Because I realized, like in the temple, there were limitations here, so in my life, there are limitations. There's limitations of time. I won't be long here at the best, at the most. And because time is limited, the Lord's coming and so much to do and so much to attain to. Lord, I want to climb, as it were, by spiral staircases. I want to gain the utmost height within the smallest pace possible. Can you enable me to do it, Lord? You did it here in the temple. And you can do it for me. So put the two things together. One, the chambers are speaking of development and growth and enlargement. And the stairs, secondly, are telling me the way of enlargement and growth and development. A step at a time. Isn't that clear? Now, I want you to come to the third thing here, and we move into verse 20 for this. Verse 20. And in verse 20 we read, and the oracle in the fore part, he prepared in the house within, to set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. That's verse 19. Verse 20, and the oracle in the fore part was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in height. So they were all 20. Now, the oracle here is actually the most holy place. Within that building over there, with the windows in it, as well as being the side chambers round, inside there were two special places. The holy place, beyond that, the most holy place where God's presence was. Now I notice specially there, it was 20 cubits this way, and 20 cubits that way, and 20 cubits that way. In other words, length, breadth, depth, height were all equal. And that's important. I walked into a second-hand book room down the town about a week or more ago, picked up a lovely little volume and called Life's Dusty Way by a great writer, Fullerton, in his day. But he was commenting on the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, in the Book of the Revelation. Remember, I preached on it one Sunday night quite a while ago. And you remember the city was four square. In other words, the length, the breadth, the depth and height were all equal. Same as you hear. Now, the New Jerusalem is the abode of the church, and it will be, is the abode of God. And I saw straight away a remarkable thing here. In the tabernacle, the most holy place, the length, breadth, depth, height, all equal. In the temple, same thing again. In the New Jerusalem, on a far larger scale, the same thing again. Length, breadth, depth, all, height, all equal. Now why? Why? Well, to the Jews, anything that was equal all round spoke of perfection. The cube, equal all round, spoke of perfection. And the tabernacle and the temple and the New Jerusalem are the size of the cube, so to speak, equal all round. Because here is the perfect dwelling place of God, and a place for a perfect God to dwell. Well, now there's so much to teach there, and I can't take it. Because here's this poor life of mine, and oh, how I long that it should be as perfect as possible. Because it's now the dwelling place of God, too. But one thing I will bring out, and is this. The line spreads, depths, height, here in verse 20 were all equal. In other words, there was nothing lopsided or out of proportion. There was a sense of evenness and a sense of balance. Balance. All the way around. Balance. Everything equal. Balance. And I said, Lord, that's something I've prayed for years. I just don't want enlargement. 5, 6, 7. And I just don't want to know the way from 5 to 6 to 7 step at a time. But Lord, with the growth and the development and the enlargement, I want also balance. But no matter what way you look at me, there's evenness to that man. Evenness. And that should go with the growth as well. I've seen believers, and you know, there's a terrible lack of balance about. And they would get on to one avenue of things, one line of things, and all they would hammer that to death. And other things terribly out of proportion in their life. I remember visiting in Downpatrick Hospital, and I was told about this particular person. There was an old man there in the hospital, one of the hospitals in Downpatrick. He was in for months, for years maybe. And one of the nurses got to hear about his son, who was an evangelist with a certain body or bodies of people. And the nurse said this about him, if he would preach less and come and visit his old father a wee bit more often, it would be better. You know, this is something we've got to watch in growth and development as a Christian. That you not only get the attainment and the height and the development, but also that you seek to get everything in balance in your Christian life. And not just one thing outdoing the other, and the whole thing not in proportion in your life. So now you've got three things, haven't you? In the chambers, you've seen enlargement. And following the stairs, you've seen the way to enlargement, step at a time. And then entering the holy place, a perfect cube, balance, evenness, order all round. You say, Lord, I want the growth. And I want to learn the way to grow. But at the same time, I want balance, that one thing won't be laughing at.
Come with me now for the next thing, the fourth thing here. And if you come now to verse 4, we come to the windows in the temple. And in the windows in the temple, there is something special, and I've left that one to the last, because I think where we're applying it and where we're concerned, it'll come last. Now, in verse 4, if you read, it says here, "And for the house he made windows of narrow lights." Now, that is the authorized version, and I prefer the authorized to any other version. But sometimes it fails to bring out the full light. And here is one place. The revised version brings it out, the RV, and it reads this way: windows narrow without and broad within. You got that? Windows narrow without but broad within. Looking to see if these would serve to illustrate. Not too good. We'll take you elsewhere for an illustration. You have been perhaps in some of the big castles with the very thick walls. And if you look in your mind, now bring back the picture, you'll remember that the windows were narrow without and broad within. In other words, the corners were cut away and swept back. And so there you have them from the narrow front, tapered, cut right back, swung the corners off right back. Now why was that? Why were they like that in the temple? Why are they like that any time? Well, the idea is this. The light that comes in through that narrow window will not just come straight in, lighting up one port, but with the sides cut away, the light coming in will go that way, that way, that way, that way, and that way. That's the idea of being broad within while narrow without. Now, what was the chief thought and purpose behind all that? Simply this. It was God's intention and Solomon's desire that those priests within those chambers should have the maximum amount of light. That was God's intention. Now, do you see how our line is all one tonight? Enlargement, climbing, higher and higher, and the maximum amount of light. You see the whole thought of growth here. Well, I sat now, not by the stairs, but at the window. And I said, "Lord, speak to me through these windows." And this is how I saw. Those windows were the inlets into the temple chambers. And the light streamed in through those inlets. And then I thought about the inlets into this temple of the Holy Ghost. And I thought about the windows of the soul. And I said, "Lord, I want these inlets to be so made as the windows were in the temple that I'll be able to get the maximum amount of light." In other words, I want all the light spiritually, Lord, that you can give me. Did you want that? Well, one or two things then. If you're wanting all the light that you can get spiritually, and if you're wanting to develop in the things of the Lord, you will. If you're wanting to grow, you will. Well, if I'm to get all the light, then what's to happen? Well, like the temple windows, anything that would block the light must be cut away. Anything that would cause darkness within my soul must be done away. And I must ask the Lord to take this temple and so fashion the windows of the soul and the inlets to the chamber of this life. So fashion it, Lord, that a maximum amount of light will be mine, and that there won't be one dark spot within that the light of God hasn't shone upon. Now we got the four things now. Let's put them together and let's finish with this. The chambers speak of development. 5, 6, 7. The stairs tell me the way, a step at a time. And the holy place reminds me of the need of balance all the while. 20, 20, 20, 20. While the windows tell me that if the inlets to my soul are fully open, I can get a maximum amount of light, and God can give it. May God bless this word to you tonight. And may the young, especially, make growth in grace. Now we'll have a hymn together. Number 8. Hymn number 8. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. We sing 3, 4, and 5. Grace taught my wandering feet.